World Cricket Weekly Talk is a Titan GSG production.
That is a terrific shot.
Hello, I'm Nigel Reed, and welcome to another edition of World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. On today's show, let the games begin. The Indian Premier League is back for another year. Will the usual suspects be battling for honours in IPL 5? Also this week, another loss for the world number one. England's reputation as the best test team takes another hit in Sri Lanka. So what's the problem? And can the Windies match the Aussies? We'll preview the test series in the Caribbean with West Indies manager Philip Spooner. All that and more this week here on World Cricket Weekly Talk. My regular sparring partner, Zubin Sakari, is away at the Cricket Canada AGM, but in his stead, delighted to welcome cricket's answer to the Oracle, journalist and font of all knowledge, Faraz Sarwat. How's that for an introduction?
Very nice. You flatter me, Nigel.
Well, I think it's fully justified. Plenty to talk about on this week's show. Let's get right at it. England, going into the winter, were the best team in terms of test matches. They played Pakistan, and that fell flat. Now they've moved on to Sri Lanka for a short series there, and they've lost the first of two tests there. Is there an immediate problem that springs to mind? Or are the other teams getting wise as to England's tactics?
Well, I think there was a lot of expectation that England, as the number one test side in the world, was going to continue its form in all conditions and all countries. And that's kind of an unrealistic expectation to have. Yes, certainly nobody expected England to lose four test matches in a row, which is now what has happened, losing three in a row to Pakistan, all of them convincingly, and then this recent test match to Sri Lanka. I actually felt that England didn't do too badly in this test match. You know, their second innings, they made it 260-odd runs, which is, pretty good going on a wearing pitch against a spin attack. Even in the first innings, which is where Sri Lanka won it, it's because of Mahela Jayawardena playing, brilliant innings of 180. And if you look at the rest of that scorecard, nobody did anything. It's one player, one genius player in Jayawardena stepping up and making the difference with the bat. And, England had a decent showing in the first innings with the ball. Jimmy Anderson took 5 wickets. And in the second innings, Graham Swan took 6 wickets for not too many. So all in all, it was a par performance. But in those conditions, Sri Lanka were always going to be a handful for England. Didn't matter what the England's form would be.
Now, Jonathan Trott said that England's batting in the first innings was, in his words, a sin. And he said there was nothing wrong with the pitch. They just didn't bat well enough. And ultimately, as you suggest there, it cost them the game, despite a century in the second innings. So is it just a matter of England feeling uncomfortable away from England? Or do you sense that the rest of the test-playing countries are beginning to figure out what they're good at and stop them doing it?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. Every team obviously prefers to play at home, and the conditions in England are very different from the conditions in Sri Lanka. Even something like the bounce, the surface. I mean, so in England, the ball will come onto the bat a bit better. In Sri Lanka, the ball will stay a bit lower. But you would think that having played 3 test matches against Pakistan and losing all of them, that there would have been a marked difference in how England were approaching Sri Lanka. I think there was a difference, but probably not enough. And it's a little bit odd, because not as if England don't have spinners of their own where their batsmen can practice against, and they're decent spinners. I mean, Graham Swan taking 6 wickets against a Sri Lankan batting side that's very good at playing spin speaks volumes about how good of a bowler Graham Swan is. Monty Panesar is also a decent spin bowler. So it's not as if England don't have the opportunity to practice against good spin bowling. But sometimes I think when we're looking at results between two good teams, we'll look at the higher ranked team and saying, well, what did they do wrong? And I think it's often more about looking at the team that won and saying, what did they do right? And in Sri Lanka's case, Rangana Harath, who's a very good spinner, has stepped up to the plate and bowled his team to victory.
So is England now in free fall, and how important is it for them to restore a little bit of pride and win the second test? Because it's only a 2-game series.
Yeah, I think that they will certainly aim to do that. But if they don't, come away with a victory, even a draw would suffice at this point, given that they've lost 4 test matches in a row, overseas. Once England go back and play at home, you know, in the English season, there'll be a completely different side. And this will all be a bad dream. And it'll be like, well, you know, we had a bit of a hump, but we've recovered and we're doing well and we're moving forward. I don't think that England are in free fall.
Does it really matter? Final point before we move on. And it's something I've been thinking about for a week or two. A lot has been made of the fact that England are the number one test team in the world. And I wonder really whether that matters to anybody other than perhaps a handful of statisticians. We've spoken on the show before about the fact that we're not too far away from a world test championship in the not too distant future. So does it really actually, you know, matter in the real world of cricket that there is a number one team when by default these are bilateral series?
Yeah. Well, I think that on some level, it means something to beat the number one test side in the world. It means something to measure your performance against other teams to see how well you're doing. In the current context, because England are not world beaters across all conditions, that changes the perception of what it means to be the number one side in the world. And you can contrast that with, you know, the all-conquering West Indies sides where it didn't matter where they were playing. They could be playing at home, they could be playing in England, they could be playing in the subcontinent. They were always the number one side and played like that. Even the Australians under Steve Waugh and, you know, even Ricky Ponting's early period, they were the number one side across all conditions. And if you beat them, it really meant something. Now, yes, England are the number one side, separated by a few points from South Africa. But, you know, they can't maintain their winning tradition across every type of condition. And that makes a difference in their perception.
For us, all right, that's for the Toronto Star, for Wisden and for Crick Info. Now, perhaps what happens in the second test will all be buried because the juggernaut of the Indian Premier League, the fifth edition, is about to hit us around the world. It's all the fun of the fair. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I fancy it's not yours, but it looks good on TV. The stands are packed, the dancing girls, the blaring music. It's short, it's punchy, there's no hiding place. You go for your shots. And suddenly from Test cricket, we're looking at a totally different brand of the game, aren't we?
Yeah, it's completely different. And it's more entertainment than actual cricket. And as you say, rightly say, that you know, the dancing girls are there, the music is blaring, the stands are packed, everyone's having a good time. Cricket is almost a sideshow on some level. I mean, it's basically just about hitting the ball into the stands. And the more often you can do that, the more successful the tournament seems
to be. Well, there's plenty of people who'd say, well, that should be the object of the game in the first place, as opposed to standing there and dot ball, dot ball, dot ball, and, you know, three or four maiden overs, and giving some credit to the bowler in a test series, which, of course, is a totally different environment and a different skill. But those who are looking for that quick fix and that magic, that excitement, would say, well, what's the matter with people hitting sixes every over?
It goes to the appreciation of the game itself. And is cricket just about sixes and fours, or is it about other things too? And I think, I mean, the IPL in 2020 cricket has its place. And if that's all one is interested in, I mean, I've likened it in the past to cricket pornography almost, where it's just about sixes and fours, you know, and the storyline doesn't really matter. And on some level, I think there are people who almost get desensitized by just seeing all these sixes. I mean, if a six is, you know, two or three sixes are hit in every over, it doesn't really matter, you know.
it doesn't really become special.
Yeah, it's not special anymore. But on the other hand, I mean, there are people who just like that part of it. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's kept in its proper context, if, you know, the IPL or 2020 cricket is seen as the pinnacle of the sport, then I think there's a problem there. Because certainly there are other formats of the game where a batsman, a bowler needs to be better skilled, more accomplished to play at that level.
Yeah, I think the criticism has always been that if you're going to play hit and run, which some people look at this, it's no way to develop a career for the longer form of the game.
Yeah.
Having said that, it's entertainment. It makes money. People want to see it, whether it be on TV or in the stands itself. Is it not thereby popularizing the game per se?
It's popularizing a form of the game. I don't know if it's popularizing cricket itself, because if you come to cricket knowing only the IPL, well, how will you appreciate
maybe
it
you don't much? Want to. Yeah. And I think, you know, we've had the discussion before. Certainly for those who are new to the game, and particularly perhaps from a North American audience, a game that lasts 3 hours, you can just about stomach that, even if you don't really know what's going on. And really for us, you don't even need to look at the 3 hours. You can look at the last 20 minutes or and you can get a feel and you can understand that, you know, there is that target to get and they've got this many to get in that many deliveries. It is certainly a brand, I think, that is likely to be more popular over time to a North American audience.
Yeah, you're quite right. And it's an understandable form of the game. So even if you don't know all the rules of cricket, if you just see it on the screen that, you know, 12 runs are needed off five balls, you'll understand what that means. And as you say, I mean, your example is a good one about watching the last 20 minutes of the game and figuring out what's going on. You could conceivably watch the last 20 minutes of a test match and wonder, well, why are they just shaking hands and walking off the field? Nobody won.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So certainly the 2020 version of the game is more accessible to people.
Sure.
And if you're trying to pick up, you know, what this sport means, then that's a good learning spot. But it's also, you could say, just learning how to count or learning a language where you just learn, you know, what the letters are in the alphabet. That's what 2020 cricket is. It's not literature. It's a very basic form of the game.
What about the undercurrents that is going on in the IPL? I know this is more of a concern for you. On the surface, it's bright lights, as you say. It's the music, the dancing girls, the big hits. But what about the undercurrent of what's going on there? Do you have concerns about the way IPL itself is being administered? I think maybe you do.
Yes, I do. And it's kind of been that way since the very beginning of the tournament. But I think things, rather than improving, have kind of gone south a bit. You just look at the fact that, you know, the way franchises have been awarded and they come and go, you know.
There's
one less this year. It came from nowhere. It's gone. You know, how players are moved around on the teams, you know, the salary cap, there are creative ways to circumvent the salary cap. You know, there's a player auction where two teams can be bidding for a certain player, and there's a cap on the salary that $2 million is all that a player can get. Now, what happens if two teams bid the maximum for that player? Well, then there's a behind-the-scenes kind of, you know, jockeying that goes on. And any extra amount that's generated doesn't go to the player. It goes to the Indian Cricket Board, to the BCCI. So an example is, Ravindra Jadeja or Ashwin? I can't remember. One of the two, I think it was Ravindra Jadeja, who in the last auction reached the maximum bid of $2 million. The rumor is the amount that was actually generated from was closer to $6 million. But the extra money didn't go to Jadeja. He just got the $2 million. The rest of it went to the BCCI. Now, the president of the BCCI also owns a franchise. Which franchise does he own? The one that Jadeja went to. There's very clear conflicts of interest that go on in the IPL. And it certainly has an effect on, I think, the integrity of the tournament.
Should we really be concerned, though, as observers of the game, or should we just let it wash over us, sit back and be entertained? And if there's some underhand horse trading going on behind the scenes, well, who really cares? It's good money for 7 weeks' work if you're one of the top players.
Yeah, if you're one of the top players, do you really care how any of that happened? And if you're just sitting in your living room watching it on TV, do you really care? But you could say that about anything. I mean, why should we care about the integrity of anything then? I think that there is a problem in the way that tournament is structured, the way it functions. But on the other hand, it does produce, in terms of 2020 cricket, a very interesting brand of the game.
Plenty more to come when World Cricket Weekly Talk continues. Presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.